Let us turn again to the part of God's Word that we read together and consider in Matthew chapter 28, from verse 5. Matthew chapter 28 and verse 5. And the angel answered and said unto the women, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. From verse 5 to verse 10 this evening, with the Lord's help, the Lord is ready to comfort those who seek him. We may be afflicted, we may be in the midst of trouble, but if we are seeking the Lord, we do not need to be afraid. The message of the angel to the women at the tomb shows us how the Lord takes notice of those who seek him, and he truly cares for those who desire him above all else. So for those who look to the crucified one and see their life in his death and feel that they cannot live without Christ crucified, the Lord assures them that they are safe in him. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. He promises they will never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of his hand. And they need not fear, for he knows that they seek Jesus who was crucified. With the Lord's help this evening, we will notice, first of all, comfort for those who seek Christ crucified. Comfort for those who seek Christ crucified. Fear not. And secondly, peace through the death and resurrection of Christ. Because the angel points them to the empty tomb, and that tomb is speaking peace to those who are seeking Christ crucified. Peace through the death and resurrection of Christ. And thirdly, the presence of Christ in the path of duty. The presence of Christ in the path of duty. When they were assured that the Lord was risen, they were directed to go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead. And they obeyed. And going in the path of duty, what do we read? Jesus met them, saying, All hail. And he also gives them the assurance that they need not be afraid and that they ought to go tell his brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. So we can expect the presence of Christ when we are faithful to him, when we are endeavoring to go forward in the path of obedience. So first of all, the comfort for those who seek Christ crucified, and secondly, peace through the death and resurrection of Christ, and thirdly, the presence of Christ in the path of duty. Comfort for those who seek Christ crucified. We read in verse 2 that there was an earthquake at the tomb, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. The Lord Jesus was crucified. He bore the sin of many. He had satisfied divine justice. When the work was done, he cried, It is finished. He gave up the ghost. He was buried. He had died, but death could have no dominion over him. And the guards that were sent to watch over the tomb could not keep the living one among the dead. No, the angel of the Lord appeared, and they themselves, the soldiers, became as dead men. They were full of fear. They saw this angel whose countenance was like lightning and his raiment was white as snow. And the soldiers were afraid of the angel. The word lightning is declaring to us the glory of the angel. And the word white, the white raiment, reveals the purity, the holiness of the angel. And these two things, holiness and glory, repel the sinner. The sinner is driven back, driven away from the holiness and the glory of God. And so here are these soldiers who are afraid and could not stand before the glorious, holy, shining one. But for those who seek Jesus, they don't need to be driven back. They do not need to fear. They do not need to be repelled. The angel tells them, "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." The women were coming to the tomb early in the morning. And just coming to a cemetery, people may become afraid. The women might have been somewhat tremulous coming to the tomb. And they certainly did not expect to see an angel, a holy, glorious angel. And that surely would be enough to frighten them. But the angel is telling them, "You don't need to be afraid of me." The soldiers were afraid. Now, they became as dead men. But you don't need to be afraid. Not you. Why? Because you are seeking Jesus, who was crucified. "Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified." So those who are seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, who died on the cross, do not need to be afraid. Are you seeking Christ? Do you seek the Lord Jesus, who was crucified? What does it mean to seek Christ? Well, to seek the Lord involves desire to find him. We're not seeking the Lord if there's no intention, no desire to find him and to have him for ourselves. We're not talking about a mere anxious inquiry. This is not just trembling in our souls and asking, "What must I do to be saved?" That's a desire to be saved from hell. And it may or may not be true seeking the Lord. Here is more than anxious inquiry. Here is seeking Christ, who was crucified. And so if you're seeking the Lord Jesus Christ, who was crucified, you desire him and desire to find him above all things. It's not just a desire for salvation. It's a desire for the Savior. You desire him. You are seeking Jesus. And the Lord Jesus and salvation by him is the one thing needful to you. And you know and you feel that everything else must take second place as to your priority. The Lord Jesus Christ is your all in all. You are seeking Jesus, who was crucified. The Lord Jesus is precious to you. You desire his blood to wash you. You desire his righteousness to cover you. You desire the Lord Jesus to be near you. You desire to have communion with him. You seek fellowship with him. You seek to honor him. Just as these women were coming to anoint the body of Jesus, they wanted to honor him. Oh, how they loved him. They were seeking Jesus, who was crucified. They were indeed full of sorrow that he was not there. At least Mary Magdalene was afterwards. They were coming to anoint his body. They were seeking Jesus. They were seeking Jesus, who was crucified. And they were seeking Jesus because he was crucified. He was in the tomb because he had died. They were seeking him because he was crucified. And those who are seeking Jesus, truly, they are seeking Jesus because he was crucified, because he died on the cross, because of his sufferings on the cross. You find life for your soul. You know that there is no other way to have life for your soul except by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. In him there is life. In him there is forgiveness. In him there is salvation. And in none other. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Do you realize that? Do you understand in your soul that you cannot be saved apart from Jesus Christ? You know that in your head. Do you feel that in your heart? I will never be saved unless I have Christ for my soul. And those who are seeking Christ crucified, they desire him. They desire him above all else. And they are resting on him alone for salvation. They are looking to his blood. They are looking to his righteousness. They are seeking Jesus who was crucified. And because you are seeking Jesus who was crucified, you, like these women, do not need to be afraid. Here they were. There had been an earthquake. They probably saw the evidence of it. The earthquake had probably already occurred. But they saw not only the evidence of the earthquake, but they saw the angel. And there may have been fright at first. There's a reason why the angel says, "Fear not ye." You're very likely to be afraid, but you don't need to be afraid. And they were seeking Jesus, and so they were told, "Fear not. Do not give in to fear. The angel might frighten you, but you don't need to be afraid of the angel. The angel is not against you. The angel is here for you. The angel is assuring you that Jesus is risen from the dead." The way was prepared by the earthquake. Even the earthquake is not against you. It was simply preparing the way for the resurrection of Christ. You are afraid that all of these things are against you, but I assure you that all of these things are for you. And so God is telling his people, those who are seeking Jesus, if he is for us, then who can be against us? And you know that he is for you. You know that he is for you when you are seeking Jesus who was crucified. And so, friends, we may be tempted to fear. We may be afraid of many things, but we are called upon in the Word of God that if we're seeking the Lord, we don't need to be afraid. And we are even commanded, fear not their fear. Don't be afraid of what everyone else is afraid of. They may be afraid of the economy crashing. They may be afraid of the next spread of disease. But don't fear their fear. Sanctify the Lord God of hosts himself. Let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And above all, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus who was crucified. Perhaps these women were subject to despondency. They were perhaps downcast. Their Savior, their Lord, was crucified. Perhaps they were despondent like the two on the road to Emmaus. They thought that he was the one who should have redeemed Israel. But the Lord Jesus was nearer to them than they realized. And so the angel is comforting the women. There is no need to be afraid. Fear not ye. You are seeking Jesus. That itself should be a comfort to you. And you have the Word of God to assure you that those who seek him, they are his own. He is their portion. And though they are liable to fear, yet he will assure them again and comfort them again. He comes again and again with these words, "Fear not, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee, yea, I will help thee, yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness." You see how willing the Lord is to assure us of his help, how ready he is to comfort us with his presence, so that we do not need to be fearful. He commands us not to be fearful. And if we are seeking Christ crucified, then all is well. He gives us happiness. He gives us comfort. He gives us his promise. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. Ye seek me, ye seek Jesus, who was crucified." And it is in him that we can have peace. peace. In the second place, peace through the death and resurrection of Christ. Verse 6, he says, he is not here. The angel is speaking still. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay. He is not here. Well, surely that should be something to be down about. You expected him here. He's not here. Where is he? No, this should not cause you any fear. This should not cause you any trouble. This should not make you full of sorrow, because he is risen. He's not here. He is risen, just as he said. So you do not need to be surprised at this, because he had told you already that he would rise from the dead. So this does not need to terrify you. You already knew this was going to happen. And how often that is the case. We might go through something very surprising. Well, in one sense, it shouldn't surprise us. The Lord told us. The Lord told us things would happen that might startle us, that might cause fear. It would naturally cause fear, but we know beforehand. And we're not to think these things strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try us. Well, here, there's every reason for comfort and for joy, because he is risen. And he told you that he would, and you see how he is faithful to his word. He is truthful. Here, the empty tomb is evidence of the truthfulness of Christ. And so his resurrection, the resurrection of Christ, should assure you and comfort you, and actually convey peace to your soul. He is not here in the tomb. Where is he? Well, he was risen. And for us, we know that he is exalted. The risen Lord is at the right hand of God. And he even told the disciples when he was still on earth, before he had ascended into heaven, that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. He reigns over all things. The reins of power are in his hands, not in Pilate's hands, not in the chief priest's hands. They would lie. They would deceive the people and tell the soldiers that the disciples had stolen the body away while we were asleep. And so the soldiers are bribed to lie to the people. Well, they are deceitful. And the reins of power are not in their hands. Pilate himself was unjust, and so he condemned the innocent. No, the ultimate supreme power is not in their hands at all, but in the hands of Christ. In the midst of all the confusion, in the midst of all the opposition, in the midst of all the enemies, Christ is the governor. And he reigns supreme. So while we are here in this world, a world of sorrow and a world of grief, a world where darkness pervades the earth, we spiritually live in a cloudy and dark day. Jesus is not in the tomb. He is not here. See the place where the Lord lay. That's where he used to be. He's not there anymore. Death could not have dominion over him. He rose triumphant. The world thought that it had triumphed over Christ. The chief priests thought they had conquered him. He was gone for good, but they were wrong. Well, the world still thinks it has control over the destiny of God's people, but they are wrong. There's a great tumult against the king. But Jesus is not in the chaos. He is above it. He's above it. He sits upon the floods. The waters may be ready to overwhelm us, but he sits above them. He is ready to draw us out of them. As the psalmist says, he took me, he drew me out of many waters. And so while we are in the world, yes, even Jesus was in the world. The world hated him. The world still hates us. We're not to be surprised at that. He says, marvel not. I've told you already. You know it would happen. He says, in the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Rejoice. I have overcome the world, and Jesus has triumphed over the grave. He is risen as he said. He overcame, and he will cause us to overcome. We also will be made more than conquerors through him who loves his people, all through his love, so we can have peace, even in the midst of all the tribulation and trouble that is in the world. And it is by looking to Christ, who was crucified, and getting a full, clear view of the empty tomb. See the place where the Lord lay. And also, we can have peace in our consciences by looking at the empty tomb. Take a good look at the tomb. See the place where the Lord lay. He doesn't lie there anymore. He lay there because he was crucified. That is true. And that is why you came to the tomb, because he was crucified. You seek Jesus who was crucified. But the crucifixion is over. He cried, "It is finished." He put away sin by his death on the cross. He put away sin. And the empty tomb proves it, because the empty tomb is evidence that he is risen. And the resurrection of Christ confirms that our sins are put away. If he had not risen from the dead, if he was still lying dead in the tomb, that would be evidence that his death could not avail. That would be evidence that he did not finish the work. He's still under the wrath of God. He's still under the dominion of sin, if he was still in the tomb. But he is risen. And that proves that he satisfied justice. His death accomplished the purpose. His death satisfied justice. And justice demands the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of his people, because their sins are forgiven. He made atonement. He put away their sin by his sacrifice. Justice is satisfied. Sin is put away. And the resurrection of Christ confirms it. The empty tomb is telling us he is risen. The empty tomb is speaking peace, because sin is forgiven. So we should take a good long look at the empty tomb. He's not there. He's not there anymore. See the place where the Lord lay. He did lie there. He lay there. He's not there anymore, because he is risen. And so we may, through looking to the empty tomb, receive peace, knowing he is risen and sin is forgiven. So if we are troubled about our sins, if we feel our guilt lying heavily upon us, let us look to the tomb. It speaks peace to the troubled conscience, because he rose from the dead as he said he would. He satisfied divine justice. He completely put away sin. Sin could not triumph over him. Death could not have dominion over him. He fully put away sin by his dying. He rose victorious. And therefore we have a firm foundation to rest upon. The one who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, his resurrection confirms that we are justified, that we are pardoned, that we are accepted in the Beloved. So, friends, with the assurance that we need not fear because we seek Christ who was crucified, and with the peace that the empty tomb gives us, what follows? We have every reason to go forward in the path of obedience, knowing that the Lord Jesus will meet us along the way. In the third place, the presence of Christ in the path of duty. We read the angel speaking in verse 7, after he says, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay," he says, "and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead, And behold, he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him. Lo, I have told you. So, when comfort is given to us, as it was given to the women here, it's not just for the moment. It's not just for us to relish that moment. No, it is to stir us up to action, to stir us up to go about our duty. The women are assured they need not be afraid. Does that mean that they should just go home and take their ease? No, they have work to do. Go tell the disciples, Christ is risen from the dead. So, if we are seeking Christ and he comforts us with his word, gives us peace in our souls, we are to respond to that with praise and thanksgiving, and we're to show our thankfulness by dutifulness. There is plenty of work for the children of God to do. This is not a world of rest. It's a world for work. And whatever our hand finds to do, we're to do it heartily. We're to do it with our might. We're to do it for the Lord Jesus Christ. So those who are seeking Christ crucified, they are comforted and they are also instructed to go forward serving him, to tell the disciples, what the Lord has done for them, to show it, to show the great things God has done for us. How? By keeping his commandments, living consistently, walking uprightly before the Lord, declaring the wonderful things that the Lord has done for us, not always by our words, but by obedience and by attending the means of grace diligently and attending the sacraments of baptism and the Lord's Supper, living for his glory as bearing his light and as being the salt of the earth. And in so doing, the Lord promises to meet us along the way. And so we read in verse 8, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. They still had godly fear, not slavish fear, but they went with fear and great joy. This is evidence of godly fear when we see it coincides with joy. Slavish terror is not something that the Lord's people should entertain, but they should have godly fear, reverence and awe of God, and due solemnity along with joy. We're to join trembling with our mirth. They went from the sepulchre, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy, and did run to bring his disciples word. And then we read in verse 9, and as they went to tell his disciples, behold, Jesus met them, saying, all hail. Notice it is as they went. That's the point. Going in the path of obedience, as they went, Jesus met them. Jesus met them when they were in the path of duty. Behold, what a welcome and a wonderful sight. The desire of their eyes, the desire of their hearts. They were seeking Jesus who was crucified, and he came to them. He met them. He wasn't always absent from them. They found him whom their soul loveth. He was ready to comfort them in person. He was near them and granted his presence. And they respond. They respond with adoration. They came and held him by the feet and worshiped him. And you know that Jesus has met you when you are ready to worship him. You know that there has been a meeting between you and Christ when you see his glory, when he is precious to you, and you are ready to bow before him with reverence and worship and submission. And so he tells them, be not afraid, verse 10, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me. So again, He's assuring them they don't need to be afraid. How ready the Lord is to convey comfort, to assure us there is no need for fear. Just as he tells his disciples in the boat, "Fear not, or be not afraid. Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." Those who fear, John says, "He that feareth is not made perfect in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And you say, "Well, how will I avoid this fear, this terror? What are we to do to avoid this undue fear?" We are to look to the blood of Christ. We're to seek Jesus who was crucified. Look to him for righteousness. As the apostle says there in 1 John chapter 4, "As he is, so are we. As he is before God, perfectly accepted, righteous, so we are accepted as righteous in the sight of God." And if we know that, if we know we are justified, we are washed in the blood, then we won't have fear. We can come to God with boldness, entering into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. Boldness, entering into the, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. So looking to Christ crucified gives us liberty, gives us boldness. We need not be afraid when we are seeking Jesus who was crucified. And again, the Lord Jesus himself gives them instruction. They still have an errand, a mission to perform. "Go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee, and there shall they see me." The word of God tells us that those who go in obedience to him, he will grant his presence. Isaiah chapter 64, verse 5, "Thou meetest him that rejoiceth and worketh righteousness." God meets him. God meets him along the way. Well, in conclusion, we live in a dark day. The disciples felt their day was very dark. They felt when Jesus was crucified that their hopes were almost extinguished. But their sorrow was going to give way to joy very quickly. And the darkness of the day, the darkness of our day, makes the dawning light all the brighter. And if we're going through tribulation and troubles and trials in this world, it will certainly make heaven all the sweeter, and all the blessings that the Lord is willing to grant to us in this world. Yes, through the veil of tears, the blessings that we enjoy will be all the sweeter when the Lord grants them, considering the backdrop of the darkness and the trials. But our faces are to be towards the Lord Jesus. And seeking Christ crucified, he will comfort our souls. And going in the path of obedience, he will meet us. He will grant his presence along the way. Well, do you long for this peace? Do you long for this comfort? Whatever your condition tonight, converted or unconverted, God calls you, "Unto you, O men, I call, and my voice is to the sons of man." And he is calling you to run to Christ, to flee to him. How you should be stirred up to seek Jesus who was crucified. Where else can you find real and lasting peace? Where else can you have comfort and joy that no one will ever take from you? It can only be through the crucified one, only by Jesus Christ, God manifest in the flesh, through his precious blood that was shed on Calvary. Seek him. Seek the one who was crucified. If you come to him, he will be to you the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may live and not die. You will be forgiven all your sin. You will have spiritual satisfaction, joy in your heart. No one will be able to take from you. And he will say of you and to you, "Fear not, You don't need to be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus, who was crucified. May the Lord bless his word. Let us pray.